The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a great morning. Wednesday is hump day, and so we're kind of looking down the barrel of the weekend. And so Wednesday, if you remember that commercial, I forget who it was, Geico maybe, about the camel saying it's hump day. But it's a great day because the Lord is King, and He's the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Well, I have been listening this morning to some music. It's music from back in the 80s and then from even current time. But it's one of my favorite singers, Larnell Harris. Larnell Harris has just released, it happened at the end of July, all his 13 original albums from the Hall of Fame vocalist Larnell Harris to all major digital platforms, and five of the recordings being released were named Album of the Year at the Gospel Music Association Dove Awards, and the selected catalog earned 5 Grammy Awards. Now, Larnell Harris has been to our church since I've been here. I've been here for 21 years. He's been here 3 times, if memory serves me correctly, and always knocked it out of the park. Such a great guy, man of God, and sings just stellar songs, hits all, I mean, just his ability to get up there is amazing. But you will no doubt remember this song that he sang with Sandy Patty. They sang it in the 80s, and it just kind of took the gospel music world by storm. That was Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris singing back in the early 80s, I think in 1984, More Than Wonderful. And so I was listening to that this morning and just worshiping the Lord, because He is exactly that. He is more than wonderful. He's everything that your soul ever longs for, and everything that He promised, and so much more. because God is the God who does exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. We're having a few phone issues, but Larnell Harris is going to be on the line with us soon and on the program soon, so they'll let me know when he gets through. But we're going to talk to him about his amazing musical career that's taken him all over the world, and God has used him in so many different ways. The thing about Larnell's songs is not just that he sings so well. It's that his songs communicate so well. The Lord just puts his hand of blessing upon Larnell as he sings, and the music really speaks to a person's heart. So I believe we have Larnell Harris on the line now. Larnell, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you. Is this Jeff?
Yes, sir. Jeff Shreve.
Yeah, well, good morning. Good to talk with you.
Well, thank you, Larnell. I don't know if you remember being at First Baptist Texarkana, the home of Sue Dowd. I know you remember that name, Sue Dowd.
I sure do.
Yeah, so you've been here a couple times, and we've had the privilege of meeting and hearing you live and in person when you came, and it has been a pleasure. So, Larnell, I wanted to take this time and kind of just go over your career and your salvation experience and just let our listeners get to know you better. So, a young Larnell Harris growing up, when did the desire to sing professionally enter your heart?
Well, I got to tell you, it probably, as a young kid, I did my first concert when I was 9 years old. And it was because my mother got with our church organist, a lady by the name of Miss Georgia Dunahy, who I took piano lessons from, and she found out I could carry a tune. I was a little boy soprano, which wasn't an easy thing back in my little town of Danville, Kentucky. And but I did my first concert at the First Baptist Church in Danville when I was 9. And I write about a lot of this in a book called Shape Notes.
Uh-huh.
And Shape Notes is not about me, but it is about all of those people who spoke into my life, and we all have them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is amazing that we reach milestones in our lives, and you know what, we find out that we have to know that nobody does anything on their own. So it was 9 years old, back in Danville, Kentucky, when I did my first concert. Songs like The Lord's Prayer and How Great Thou Art. And I can remember sometimes I'd be standing there singing and big tears would roll down my eyes, and I didn't understand it then, but as I got older, I totally got it. It was the Holy Spirit working on the heart of a little boy who had no idea about what was going to happen in his life. And it was at probably 12 years old, I went forward in the church. And gave my life to Christ, as or so I thought, and the rest is, you know, keeps going on and been growing in Christ since that day.
Amen. Well, Larnell, when did so you're growing up, you're singing, come to know Christ at 12. When did things really start to break open for you as far as, okay, the Lord wants me to sing as a ministry and as my career, as my life? When did that happen?
Well, it was just a series of things. I was getting ready to graduate from Western Kentucky University. I had looked at a couple of teaching positions, and my degree is in education, music ed. And a guy showed up at the university named Stan Morris, and he was from a group called the Spurlows, and he was an arranger writer for the Spurlows, and Thurlow Spur had all these groups on the road doing Christian concerts across the country, and I was invited to go to a rehearsal camp in Brighton, Michigan, and Stan was a fabulous trombone player. In fact, I think he won something called a Ted Mack Hour back in the day. But not only that, but he was a great Christian. And when I saw the groups come in, they had a bunch of us to come in, and and just to kind of to audition and to see what the Spurlows was all about. Well, they gave testimonies in their little concert that they gave for us. And boy, at that time, I began to question whether I had really asked Christ to come into my life or not. And Stan Morris, who was a wonderful Christian guy, helped me with that. And it was at that camp in really near Detroit, Michigan, when I asked, when I reaffirmed that mm-hmm. commitment to Christ. And then, you know, out of the Spurlows, I was a drummer in the Spurlows. I wasn't singing. And Otis Skillings, who was a wonderful minister of music and fine arranger, brought in an arrangement of "Oh Happy Day," mm-hmm. and I was playing drums, hadn't sung a lick, and I'd been in the Spurlows now for about 6 months, and one of the guys who I graduated from school with was also there, Norman Huggins, and he said, "Listen, sing this for him," you know. So I started to sing "Oh Happy Day." And that became my song. I would be at the drums, just wailing away, kicking the band. And at the end of the program, Thurlow would hand me the mic, and I would get up and start singing "Oh Happy Day." It was a great moment in the show, in the program. And then it was then after that that I began to meet some of the record company people, Word Records, Benson, and some of those record company folks. And that's when it all started to happen.
Yeah.
But it started to happen before that, because when I asked Christ to come into my life, I knew that now any decision that I was going to make was going to involve this new friend that I had, and his name was Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, that's amazing, Larnell, because you're playing drums. You got a tremendous voice, and I mean, did they not really know it until that 6 month mark?
Well, I was a voice major in at Western, and I sang a bunch of French chansons and German Lieder and Elizabethan love songs. And when I thought of singing, that's what I thought about. You know, I thought about that sort of legit operatic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I started to sing "Oh Happy Day," you know, they were kind of kind of taken back, because I had sung one lick. And of course, "Oh Happy Day" at that time, the Edward Hawkins Singers, it was all over the radio and everywhere, and I started to sing that, and that became my part in the program.
Okay, so the musical instruments you play, drums, keyboard, what else?
Well, I could teach probably any. You know, piano was something that I took as a kid, and the drums was, you know, I made my living as a drummer, traveling around the country with the Spurlows and with other groups. In fact, helped to put myself through school doing that. So a number of instruments. And boy, I got to tell you, as the years have gone by, and I've had the opportunity to share some of the best music in the world with some of the finest musicians and writers in this industry. It has been a real joy. And of course, New Day Distribution, mm-hmm. Dusty Wells and the bunch down there at Nashville, you know, kind of thought the same thing, and it pulled together 13 of the old albums. You hear what I said? Not recordings, but albums. They put those mm-hmm. together and are making those available where people, wherever people now get their music as they do mainly streaming. So it's been a joy. And some of these songs are written by people like Dottie Rambo, "I Will Glory with a Cross." You know, Dottie. Mm-hmm. Always wrote from pain and from her heart, the Gaithers, you know, stuff that they've written. I have a friend in Nashville that I write with, Dave Clark, and I have written many, many things. And so 13 albums worth of songs that I've had the privilege of sharing around the world, and hopefully people will still enjoy, and thanks to New Day Distributions, they have a chance to do that.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're talking to recording artist, recording legend, if I can use that word, Larnell. Don't mean to put you on the spot, but really are a legend in the gospel recording industry and ministry, and God has used you around the world. We've been privileged at First Baptist Texarkana to have you three different times come and share with our congregation. Always a blessing. But you can find out more at larnell.com, L-A-R-N-E-L-L-E, larnell.com. He's got a book called Shape Notes, and it just details his life. And so we have Larnell for the next segment, and we are up against a break. But when we come back, we will hear more from Larnell and how God has blessed him and used him over the years. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Larnell Harris, gospel recording legend. Let me just read to you some of the things that that he has done. Five-time Grammy Award winner, the only person in history to be a member of three distinct Hall of Fame organizations, the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, Kentucky Music Hall of Fame, and the Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. Best-selling author of Shaped Notes, How Ordinary People with Extraordinary Gifts Influenced My Life and Career. And that book went number one on Amazon within 3 days of its release. 11-time Dove Award winner, 3-time Male Vocalist of the Year Award winner, Dove Awards. And the list goes on. And one of the things, Larnell, that really caught my eye, you were the first gospel artist to perform inside the Kremlin after the fall of the Soviet Union. How did that come about?
You know, a friend of mine, Jim Gruen, who had a ministry to pastors, he taught pastors, he would go into a particular country, and the folks would already know the language, they already know the customs, and he would teach them the gospel, and they would then spread out and spread the gospel in their country. Well, he put together this event in the former Soviet Union, 1991, went there as part of a music festival event, and actually got to do a concert, a Christian concert, in the Kremlin. The International Bible Society had given us 4 million, count them, 4 million Bibles, and we had teams that had a big choir of about 200 people, and we were all going to just hand those Bibles out to anyone that would take them in the streets. And when we would hold a Bible up and offer it to one of the citizens there, they would take it and hold it to their chest as though it had just become their most prized possession. The guards at the Kremlin, get this, helped us carry these Bibles in out of our trucks. They were translated into the various dialects there, and it was just an amazing thing. So, yeah, we got to do a concert in the Kremlin. But the big deal is that 4 million or so Bibles in 1991 were loosed in the former Soviet Union, and it still has, if we believe the Word of God, is still making a difference in that part of the world even today.
Amen. Well, at the start of the program, Larnell, I don't know if you're on yet, but I played a little snippet from More Than Wonderful, that which you did with Sandy Patty. I think it was 1984, around in there. But you and Sandy Patty did two that I know of for sure, More Than Wonderful and I've Just Seen Jesus, that were so extremely powerful. How did you get together with her? Because you guys, your voices just work together so well. How did that come about?
You know, the Lanny Wolf had written the song More Than Wonderful, and it was part of a Christmas musical that had already been recorded. They hadn't put it out yet, but they were in the studio and had already put the whole thing together. And the producer said, "You know what? We've got this song More Than Wonderful. Let's see. We could hear that as a duet." And so they got in touch with me and got in touch with Sandy. And I remember the phone call. The guy called and said, you know what? Said, we have this song, and we would like to make it a duet. And would you be interested in singing it with Sandy Patty? And I said, give me 1 second. And said, praise the Lord, yes. And so we got together and put that song together. And it was playing everywhere before any of us knew what was going on.
Yeah,
and then, of course, I Just Think Jesus came along. The Gaither, Bill and Gloria wrote that. And there's a line in that song. You know, these things are not just about music. It's about life. There's a line in the song, I've Just Seen Jesus, that says this: all that I've done before doesn't matter anymore. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is alive, and his offer of forgiveness and our faith in him, which is what I'm going to talk to 30 kids about in just a few minutes. When that line in the song comes about, and Sandy and I are singing it together, but we understand only too well and are so thankful that God, through his son Jesus Christ, amid all of the things of the world and all the pull of the world, you know, I say that because you talked about Grammys and all that kind of stuff, and you know what? Those things are important. They've helped me get my feet in some doors that I would not otherwise get in. But the crux of the matter is this: that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us so that we could have life and have it more abundantly than success. And when we sing this line in the song, all that I've done before doesn't matter anymore, boy, you're thinking of a lot of stuff that God has covered in your life, that he has forgiven you for. And so it's when we sing it, it is an honest presentation. It is yes, and it also says that you the listener, you can benefit from that same thing. All that you've done before doesn't matter anymore, because Jesus died on the cross and gives new life, forgiveness,
Amen.
And grace.
Man, that's good. That'll preach, Larnell. Okay, so you sang a song at First Baptist Texarkana. I'd never heard it before, and man, I tell you what, that touched me deeply. It's called Never Too Broken to Mend. I have a little clip of this song I'd like to play it.
It's never too broken to mend. It's never too shattered to be whole again. All that is needed is a touch of the Maker's hand. Yeah. It's never too soon or too late. It's just the longer the anguish, the longer you wait. So gather the pieces, take them back where it all began. Because a heart that is broken is never too broken to
Yeah, when you sang that, that song is just so filled with hope, and I just think through how so many people feel, you know, kind of like the woman that wept at Jesus' feet, the prostitute.
Yeah.
I'm so filthy, so dirty, but I remember telling you, I said, you know, that song is just communicates so much, and I just want to tell you thank you for that.
I wrote that during a time when I really needed to hear that, when I needed that. Mm-hmm. And you go, you know, you break something in your house and you take it, you want to throw it away because it's got a crack or something. Mm-hmm. And you take it back to the person that made it, and they make it almost like new again. The crack may still be seen. It still may have evidence of having been broken, but it's mended, and our hearts and our lives, nobody knows them better than the Lord Jesus. And if we'll just understand this concept, that we have the opportunity to put ourselves in the place where God can do his work in our hearts and in our lives. So listen, just take it back. Take it back to the Maker, and he will make it new again. May have a crack or two, but they'll be healed.
That's just so good. I just love that song. I didn't know you wrote that one, but man, that's one of my all-time favorites, and so I want to thank you for that. Okay, let me ask you a singing question, if I may, Larnell, because you sing so high, and I've listened to, you know, some of the guys that I grew up with that were so popular on the radio, the Elton Johns and Leo Sayer and the Bee Gees and all, where they had that really high singing. Those guys can't sustain that for very long. I think Elton's last concert, you know, he has to sing everything down several octaves because he can't sing those songs anymore. How about for you? Because you are so well vocally trained. How did that affect you over time as you started to get older?
Well, you know, I can still sing some of the notes. We get older, and your body, and I don't care what it is you do, it changes. But you know what? When it does, God still has something for you to do, mm-hmm. and that's logistics. So I'm in logistics, and where I can still sing a high C, I've got other guys and gals out here who can do that, and now that I'm not running all over the world as much as I was, they are. And I get the opportunity because I know what they need in order to keep the gospel message going. Mm-hmm. I'm in logistics. I pray for them. I pray that God will continue to equip them with everything that they need to get his message across. So physically, you know, things happen to the body. It just happens. And I am thankful that it hasn't happened so fast, you know, with me that I'm still singing. But I got to tell you, it just happens. Yeah. It helps to understand the instrument and to be trained in it. Stuff happens to the voice. Pavarotti, did I hear that he retired at 70? This body is what it is, but God always has something for us to do.
Yeah, I think it seems like if the guys sing, you know, like the George Beverly Shea, he was singing, well into his senior years, but he sings low.
He does, but I don't know that matters. He was one of my heroes. I really enjoyed him. We had a neat relationship with him. I saw a video presentation of him one time, and they were playing this video of him singing a particular song, and at various junctures in the song, it would flip to another photo of him, and then another and another, and you could see his hair change. You could see it get white. You could see the aging, but his voice never changed.
Yeah,
and it was he was my hero and a wonderful minister of music for many years.
Okay, so as a kid growing up, and even as a teenager, as a young guy in your 20s, who did you like to listen to?
You know, I listened mainly to the operatic guys, you know, Pavarotti, those guys, uh-huh. and because that's what I was doing. My senior recital was filled with French and Italian and German, that's what I was doing, and so that's who I was listening to.
Now, when you're trained like that and you're thinking more operatic, is it hard not to, I don't mean this in a negative way, but kind of look down at the guys doing the pop stuff and thinking, well, that's not really singing.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I didn't. I enjoyed a number of groups and whatnot when they would come to the university and whatnot. And no, I never looked down my nose at anyone because, you know, everybody has a part to play. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I used to listen to people like Perry Como,
yeah,
who had a beautiful voice. I remember one time as a kid, I was had gotten into a little skirmish over being teased for having this sort of boyish high soprano voice. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to the principal's office, and our principal was a guy named Bub Summers. Now, we didn't call him Bub to his face, but he was a big football player and, you know, a pretty big, intimidating kind of figure. And so I was sent to his office, and I knew I was going to get a spanking. If I got a spanking there, I was probably going to get one when I got home. But I'm in Mr. Summers' office, and he's standing over me, and he is... and I'm in there because I'm in this fight for singing high and being teased. And I think I'm going to get a spanking, and he starts to sing. And he has the most beautiful high baritone Wow. voice that you can imagine. And what he was saying to me is, you know what, don't sweat this kid. We don't know what God's going to do with you. And he wasn't saying all of this, but as I look back on it, that's what the shape notes is about. We don't know what God is going to do with you, and it's okay what you've got. And so I sat there listening to him, and I said, if this guy can sing, then I can. So Amen. No, I never look down on any genre.
Yeah.
And I enjoy all kinds of music and all kinds of voices.
Amen. Well, Larnell, thank you for being my guest today. And let me just encourage you, go to Larnell, L-A-R-N-E-L-L-E, larnell.com. And you can check out his music. You can get the book, Shaped Notes, How Ordinary People with Extraordinary Gifts Influenced My Life and Career. What a blessing. So, Larnell, may God bless you and your family. And thank you for being my guest today.
Enjoyed being with you. And my blessings on your ministry, my friend.
Thank you. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and Larnell had to go, but it's a joy getting to visit with him. What a well-spoken guy, and just a lifetime of music that has been used all over the world. And so I do encourage you to check it out. I was worshiping this morning, just listening to that old song, More Than Wonderful, with him and Sandy Patty. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. Jenna Ellis has been sending me something this morning, and I saw this on Twitter regarding Evangelicals for Harris. There's a group that's out there trying to get people to go the Harris Walls ticket, and saying that, you know, that's the Christian thing to do. They dropped their first media spot today in an effort to win over some of those on the fence conservative evangelicals. This is a tweet by, or a post by, David Brody. On the fence evangelicals in swing states who are lukewarm when it comes to Donald Trump. And so Evangelicals for Harris. So the video that they posted was one of Billy Graham, and then it goes to saying that we need to humble ourselves and ask forgiveness. And then it shows Trump saying that he's never asked God for forgiveness. And you know, it's kind of funny, Evangelicals for Harris, and then you're just trashing Trump. I make no bones about the fact that I don't think any of them on the ticket have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So yeah, we don't hold Trump up as this is what a Christian should be. It's not. But as we've said before, you know, you go by the record of the candidates. What happens when this person gets in office? The proof is in the pudding. The proof is not in the talking. You know, politicians can talk a big game, but I had a sales manager when I was at Nalco Chemical Company, and he told me one time, he said, "Hey, numbers walk, but baloney talks." He said, you know, just talking a big game doesn't mean anything. As a salesman, what shows that you're a good salesman? Your sales numbers. You know, if you say you're the best salesman since sliced bread and you have no sales numbers to back it up, well, then you're just all hat and no cattle. And so that's the same with a politician. It has to do with, okay, well, what does your record show? When you are in power, when you are given the responsibility, when you are driving the bus, where do you take it? And what do you do? And so it's very important to look at that when you're looking at voting for a candidate, because one side will smear the other side will smear them back, and it's just a war of words. But words don't produce anything. Actions produce. So give me a call if you have a question or comment, 888-589-8840. We have Martha on the line from Kentucky. Martha, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. I have a question. I just wanted to know if you know if Larnell Harris ever sang a song. I think the name of the song is I Am. Have you ever heard that song? Or do you know if he sang it?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. I was just wondering because I love it. I saw it once on, I was watching the Christian TV, and it's a very powerful song, and it names all the attributes of God, and it's really beautiful. But anyways, I appreciate your ministry, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Martha. Yeah, he's got a song, I just looked it up, he's got a song, I Am Ready for Jesus, and Here I Am, Send Me, but not a song that just says I Am. But he's sung a lot of songs, and
I used to love listening to him.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And he and Sandy Patty really, their voices just fit together really well. It's amazing that he could sing as long as he could, because his songs were so high. And typically those guys that they really go up high, that goes away pretty quickly as they get older. So hats off to Larnell for a long, long career. So anyway, thank you, Martha, for calling in. I appreciate that. Well, as we talk about records, there was a recent interview with Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, I think it's Mr. Wonderful, on Shark Tank. And he was talking about the record of Tim Walz, who is the vice presidential candidate along with on the Harris ticket. He's talking about looking at the record of how does he do as a governor of Minnesota, because your record matters. This is what Kevin O'Leary had to say.
Latest reading I saw was almost 60% of Americans are invested in the market, whether it's a pension, a 401k, and yet the Democrat VP nominee, Tim Walz, has zero money in investments. What do you make of someone trying to run the country with zero investment acumen?
I didn't know anything about the VP candidate, Tim, and so I did some digging last week. I got the data last Friday. He is not a good manager. If you look at his stewardship of his state, Minnesota, it's been not good. And I'll tell you how I measure it. I look, and don't people say, oh, you're partisan. No, I'm not. I'm looking at the track record of an individual who came into a state and wiped out job creation. He wiped out job creation in professional, in manufacturing, in accounting, in every subcategory you look at. Those jobs moved to South Dakota and North Dakota. The South Dakota job rate right now is four times that of Minnesota. Minnesota only creates jobs in services that are funded by the government, healthcare and social services. Every other sector is in decline. He's also added a surcharge of 1%, 100 basis points, on top of 9.8% taxes on individuals that are retiring. And of course they're leaving the state in drones, in droves. He's the best governor for Texas, for Florida, for North and South Dakota, but not for Minnesota.
And that's exactly right. That's where they all went, Kevin.
So that was Kevin O'Leary just talking about the record, and that's what we need to look at to be informed as voters. Keep the personal things out of it. As I said, I think yesterday or the day before, we're not selecting a prom date. We're selecting somebody that is a responsible leader to govern the country and to. You know, have the government do what it's supposed to do, punish those who are breaking the law and harming the citizenry, and protect those that are living within the means of the law. That Romans 13, that's the purpose of government. It doesn't bear the sword in vain. And so if we don't have law and order in our nation, everything falls apart, and then it just becomes dog eat dog. And so for our last caller, Martha, Jay Budzilowski, my engineer here, he said, Larnell covered the classic, I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords song. And so you might check that one out. Well, we have George on the line from New Mexico. George, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Gee, thanks, Jeff. But Pastor Jeff, I really appreciate the opportunity to say this. I got right in my hand a piece of paper that says, Religion in the News, Fall 2012, Volume 14, Number 2. The headlines is, The Democrats Dump God. And it goes on to say in paragraph 3, the Democratic platform had also done away with God. So the Democrats have turned their back on God. And I think a lot of Democrats don't know this. A lot of Republicans don't know it. But I'd like to read some highlights here, if I may. Can I go ahead, or do you have a comment?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It says, the platform that support abortion rights and gay marriage, then it's no wonder that God's name would be dropped as well. Let's see, in paragraph 3, 4, 5, 6, God-given was out. By contrast, the Republicans had increased their platform references to God from 2 in 2008. to 12 in 2012. America's talents, right of self-defense, natural beauty, and resources were all designated as God-given through the Republican platform. Another one. Democrats remove God from DNC platform, insert Obama's name over 100 times. Okay, and then I'm getting towards the end of this whole two-page thing. that Democrats have long had a problem with God talk, and the last sentence is, the platform writers may have decided to leave God out. So here's what I'm thinking. The message needs to get out. Listen, we're not voting for, if you're a Democrat and you've been a Democrat and you're going to vote Democrat regardless of what, or if you're a Republican and you're going to vote Republican regardless of what, that's the wrong way to think. We need to think, where is God?
Right.
If God is not in the Democratic Party, let's just vote for the Republican platform.
Right. That's a good, well, it's a good point, George. And the things in the Democratic platform, you know, with abortion and with LGBTQIA plus items and their agenda, those are just anti-God. There's no way around the fact that if you're pro-abortion, you cannot square that with Christianity. I told somebody the other day, I said, listen, do you think God cheers or weeps at the abortion of a young child, a young baby in the womb? And obviously the answer is he weeps at that. That is a grave sin. You shall not murder, commandment number 6. And so the abortion is murder. That child becomes a child in the image of God at the point of conception, not at the point of birth. And there are those on the left that want to say, hey, a mother should be able to take out and kill her own child even after they are born. It's just sickening. And so I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, look at the platforms, look what they stand for, and then look and see what the candidates have done. How will they govern? Just because you're good at campaigning doesn't mean you're good at governing. Those are two different things. And you know, you can promise the moon, but what do you deliver? And so the proof, as the old saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. And so we need to make sure we taste the pudding to see what we're getting. We have Mark on the line from Arkansas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thanks so much. Yeah, it sounds like you got a bunch of lukewarm evangelicals there, if they're even saved. But for a saved person or a group of them to say, okay, let's do this, and then we're going to go back, I don't know how many years it was that Trump said something like that. I mean, we're talking about the present. People get born again every moment, and it just happens in a second. But Trump's a fine example of supporting pro-life, of helping with his blessings that God has given him, all kinds of money that he writes checks for to help people out, and doesn't even disclose the amount. And then his thankfulness to God for bringing him through that assassination attempt is beautiful and truthful and with compassion, and you could tell that.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. That was an old comment, and things have changed. And you know, I'm not the judge by any stretch of the imagination. I can tell you what the judge has said, and this applies to any political candidate. This applies to any single person. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so the Apostle Paul solemnly testified to both Jews and Greeks of two key things in order to be saved: repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And unless a person has done that, as Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so how do you get born again? You repent and believe. You turn your life to Jesus Christ. You humble yourself under his mighty hand. And when you do that, he comes to live inside your life through the person of the Holy Spirit. And your spiritual part of you that was dead, that you inherited from Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, so as in Christ shall all be made alive. Then he comes to live in your spirit. He comes to live in your life. And when the Lord comes in, the life comes in. When the life comes in, the light comes on. Everything changes. You're a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. And you have to search your heart to make sure that's happened for you. But then as you talk to other people, ask them, has that happened for them? That's part of being a witness, is we shine, we share, we ask people, you know, if you were to die today, where would you go? Are you sure that you've received Christ as Savior and Lord? What would you say to Jesus if he said to you at the end of your life, why should I let you into heaven? It can't be, well, because I was such a good person. It has to be, Lord, because you died on the cross for my sins, and I saw that I was a sinner, and I turned to you, and in my hand no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll look forward to being with you tomorrow. Charlotte, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.